Now, I know everybody will know where the book of Ecclesiastes is in the Bible, so I'll still give you the page number. We're reading from Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 8 to 12, and it's on page 672 in the Pew Bible. I'm hoping there's no more difficult words to say. It's bad enough saying Ecclesiastes. But Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 8 to 12. There was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil, yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. "For whom am I toiling?" he asked. "And why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? This is too meaningless, a miserable business. Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labour. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken."
And we want to think particularly about being Jesus' disciples. And when Jesus was teaching his disciples, he was wandering all over the place. He would go from town to town telling people about God and showing everyone what God is like. And his disciples would follow him. And so sometimes we call people who want to learn from Jesus his followers. Now, I'm going to talk about being disciples, a follower of Jesus, for about 5 or 10 minutes. And if you don't want to listen to me prattle on for 5 or 10 minutes, there is something else you can do. Over the side there where Stan looks like he's monitoring it, there is a big bit of paper on the floor. And at the front of that bit of paper are some footsteps. They are Jesus' footsteps. And what you can do, if you like, is you can add your own footsteps behind Jesus. So you can come over there, you can draw around your feet, and then you can decorate the inside of your foot for something that represents you as your feet follow Jesus' feet along. So if you'd rather do some drawing than listen to me, or if you want to do that at the same time as listening to me, that is over there for you to have a go. Really, it's there for the children, but if any adults want to do it, either now or after the service is finished, you are more than welcome to. There will be no recrimination if that's what you choose to do. For the rest of us, we are thinking about discipleship. Discipling is one of our church values. As a church, we are committed to being Christ-centered, discipling, family, generous, missional, welcoming, and worshipping. And when it comes to being disciples, as it says on here, we believe that we are called to grow together as we learn more about our faith and become more like Jesus. We're called to equip and enable every person in our church family, from the youngest to the oldest, to explore their gifts and serve among us. And I love this. Every one of us should be growing more like Jesus and using our gifts to serve. And we will cycle back to this a bit later. I've already said that being a disciple is being a learner, a pupil, a follower. And I wonder what you think makes a good disciple. What you think makes a good follower of Jesus. Maybe just have a chat to the person next to you for like 90 seconds and see if you can answer that question. What makes a good disciple? What makes a good follower of Jesus? makes a good disciple, Caleb. Hey, Faye, what makes a good disciple, Faye? Grand. Some of you are talking in very low tones there. I hope you're able to hear each other. I'm trying to be very respectful of the noise around you. Has anyone got an answer for me? Maybe one or two words, maybe something really quick you can shout out. Yeah, Stephen.
Big ears.
Big ears. Being able to listen. Anyone else got anything else?
Being willing to change.
Being willing to change.
Willing to learn. Willing to change.
Willing to learn. So,
willing to please him.
Willing to please Jesus. There was something over there as well.
Open your eyes.
Opening your eyes to Jesus. Yeah, grand. Some really good answers. I wonder if, as part of our conversations, we can also infer maybe what makes a bad disciple. Someone who has their eyes closed. Someone who is, you're not supposed to be pointing at people. Someone who is closed-minded, who refuses to listen. Someone who's not prepared to learn and to grow. Someone who's so set in their ways they cannot be changed and shaped by Jesus. And this is part of the reason I think that Jesus chose young men to be his closest followers, right? Maybe because they had a greater capacity to change. Maybe because they were open to being taught. It does get harder as we get older. The temptation is to think that we have heard it all, that we have learned all the lessons that we are going to learn, that it is too late for us to change. But the call on every follower of Jesus is to have the humility to know that we do not know it all, and the flexibility to continue to be changed by the work of the Holy Spirit as he grows that fruit in our lives that we've been talking about here over the last few months. And in some ways, Jesus' closest followers, the 12 disciples, are a wonderful example to us of what it means to follow Jesus, for us all to belong to him. Not because they get everything right all the time, they really don't. But because we won't always get everything right either. Here's what they did do. Here's what they were good at. They asked questions. They asked Jesus lots of questions. Sometimes because they were so slow to understand, they needed to ask again and again. When they didn't understand what they should believe or what they should do, they asked Jesus about it. And then they listened to his answers and learned from them. And it's hard to see sometimes. And at times the disciples seem really slow to grasp what Jesus is saying. But if you continue to read on into the book of Acts and some of the letters later in the New Testament, what we find is that these young men who seemed not to really be grasping what was going on and asking lots of questions become great men of faith who understand deeply what it means to belong to the kingdom of God. And the disciples were also pretty good at doing what they were told. When Jesus gave them a command, no matter how weird it was, and sometimes it was weird, they went ahead and they did it. Even when it meant borrowing a stranger's donkey or disobeying the teachers of the law. Even when it meant risking their lives, they were obedient. And obedience is part of what it means to be a good disciple. But there's something else too. They didn't do any of it alone. They followed Jesus as a group. They learned as a group and they grew as a group. When Jesus sent them out to prepare the way for him, he sent them in pairs. Being a disciple is something that they did together. And so when Jesus had returned to heaven and they had to make decisions, they did that together too. They met and they prayed to pick a new member of the 12. They formed a council in Jerusalem to help lead the church. And we find when Paul is traveling back and forth around the Mediterranean, sharing the good news of Jesus, he doesn't go alone. He goes with Barnabas and Mark and Timothy and others. And none of it should surprise us that it is not done alone, because it was built in to the way that Jewish people learned and developed their faith. The normal way for Jewish people to study God's word was not during a quiet time at home, And maybe when you come to church, you think that that's, I should be encouraging you to have a quiet time on your own at home. That's not the best way to study the Bible. The normal way to study God's word for thousands of years was to come together and read it aloud in a group and talk about what it means. To learn to follow together. In case you haven't got it yet, my key point is following Jesus is something that is best done together. And partly that's because we were designed to work together. When God makes man, Adam, whose name means human, in the story in Genesis, and gives him a job to do, to tend and care for the garden, God knows and says that it's not good for the human to be alone. To do the task well, he needs a helper. Now, let us not think that the helper is an inferior, a subordinate to come and have everything delegated to them. The word helper here is the Hebrew ezer. It's a word that is most often in the Old Testament. That word helper is used of God. It speaks of a source of strength, sometimes a rescuer or a protector, as well as one who assists in the task ahead. Human beings were always designed to work together, to help one another, to support and strengthen. Any task in life is done better with other people because that is how we are made to be. Stephen read to us from Ecclesiastes, which picks up on this. And sometimes that passage that he read is read at weddings, but it's not primarily about being married. It is simply about the fact that we work better together, that we can help each other when we fall, that we can care for each other when we are in need, that we can defend ourselves better. A few weeks ago, I stood here and I told you that Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 are some of my favourite verses in the Bible, and they are about how we, as followers of Jesus, are called to spur each other on and encourage each other in our walk with Jesus. As disciples, it is vital that we have one another to teach us when we have things to learn, to correct us when we are wrong, to care for us when we are in need, to help us in the work that we are called to do for Jesus and to discern together what God's will is for us. If you are trying to grow as a disciple of Jesus on your own, you are doing it wrong. And it's not that you can't grow that way, but it's much, much harder. And this is part of what a church is for. We are here to help disciple one another. We are here to study God's word together, that we can learn more about him. We're here to help each other so that we can be more effective for the kingdom. We're here to walk the road together and to keep each other on track as we follow Jesus. And you know what that means? It means that we all have a part to play in helping to disciple one another. That all of us growing more like Jesus means all of us taking some responsibility. So when that church value that I read at the start says that we are called to equip and enable every person in our church family, from the youngest to the oldest, to explore their gifts and serve among us, it does not mean that Joel is going to equip and enable everyone. It means that all of us working together is the only way that we are going to grow together. I wonder what part you have to play in that. I've already talked for a bit longer than I intended. I just want to close this part by flagging for you a few things that we in this church have put in place to help us disciple one another. They might be things you know about, they might be things that you don't, they might be things you need reminding of. We meet here on Sundays for teaching together, which I think is great, but I think coming here on a Sunday is probably the bare minimum that any of us need to grow as a disciple of Jesus. We have in this church small groups that meet most weeks, mostly in people's homes, and the small groups give people a chance to pray together and support each other and talk together about what was said in the service on Sunday, to go deeper into the Word of God. And if you're not part of a small group and would like to join one, there are a couple of lists of where our small groups are. One's at the back on your way out, one's by the tea and coffee over here. And you can see where the small groups are and when they meet, and you can either speak to one of the small group leaders directly and ask them if they've got space for you, or you can chat to Crispian, who's over here, who looks after our small groups, if you'd like to join one or start one and host one. Some of us in this church have discipleship partners, and we launched these a few years back. And the idea is you meet with one or two others to help encourage each other as followers of Jesus. And they're designed to suit the people in them. Some of the partnerships study the Bible together, some chat and pray, some work alongside each other. And if you'd like to join a discipleship partnership, there's a sign-up sheet, again, one as you leave and one here, or you can scan the QR code that's on there and you can register your name to say, I'd like to be part of a discipleship partnership, someone else to draw alongside me and help me grow. Then from next year, from 2027, we are going as a church to be running a program of courses designed to help us grow as disciples. And the idea will be that there'll be at least one thing, maybe more, happening every term in church. And some of them will be for certain groups, maybe a parenting course or a course for those in retirement. And others will be more general. But our hope is that every person in our church family will be able to attend at least one course each year to help us grow. Wouldn't it be great if every one of us could say, this year I did that thing, and it helped me grow as a disciple of Jesus. To make those work, we're going to need volunteers to lead and host, because discipleship is everyone's responsibility. And maybe there is something else, some great idea you have for how we can help each other grow as followers of Jesus. And if so, or if you want to find out more about any of these things, do come and chat to me or another member of the church leadership team afterwards. It is all of our responsibility for ourselves and for one another to grow together to be more like Jesus. And so I ask you again, what part do you have to play in helping others grow as followers of Christ? I'm going to pray, and then we're going to share together in the Lord's Supper. Father God, thank you that we don't have to do it on our own. That not only do we have your example and the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us, but we have one another to support each other, to help us to grow, to encourage us on the way. And I would pray that you would even now be speaking to us and helping us see how we can grow and how we can help others grow. That together we will see more and more of the evidence of the Spirit build, growing that fruit in us that we've been talking about over the last few months. That we might all be more like Jesus, that this place might be a little bit more like your kingdom. And that through us, others might come to know you too. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.